But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap, in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin."
As we begin our Lenten journey this year, I want to take a moment to check in. It has been a long year. Though we officially hit the one-year anniversary of worshiping remote in 3 weeks, it has really hit home for me this week that it has been a year. I mean, since y'all aren't in the sanctuary every week, I may have picked up a few bad housekeeping habits, like the pile of stoles that usually is laying behind the pulpit. As I have changed stoles throughout the many different seasons of the church year, when I'm done using one, it just gets added on top of the pile. And this week, when I went to the sacristy, the room where I keep the worship stuff, I couldn't find my favorite purple stole there. That's because it was already in the pile. I'd already worn it during COVID. There at the bottom of the pile, like the deepest layer of a geological timeline, was my Lenten stole. We have been here before. We have been in Lent, in COVID, and that hit really hard. I knew the one-year mark was coming. I remember the dates really well, but this just felt different. I don't know. I'm in a weird space emotionally. I know we will see each other again soon. We have never been closer to getting to return together. In mere weeks, we will be able to gather outside in the warm afternoon sun for time together in person. Church members are receiving vaccines, and I am so grateful to know that more and more of our community has that extra safeguard for their health. All of that can be true, and I can still be sad and worn and weary. I miss you so much. I'm so grateful for the ways we connect and create community virtually, and I miss being in one another's presence. I feel like I hit that COVID wall more frequently than I used to, but I am still holding passionately to hope. Lent is a season of preparing for Easter. It's one of the more somber liturgical seasons. We don't sing Alleluia. People often give things up. It's an invitation to experience depth and even darkness before the light of Easter morning. After the year we've had, a lot of that feels repetitive. It has been an entire year of sacrifice. We have all given up so many different things. I mentioned in the Ash Wednesday service that these last 12 months have all felt very Lenten in their impact. So what are we to gain from a Lenten journey this year? For me, Lent has always been a time to focus on the life and ministry of Jesus, to hear and experience the scriptures of the gospel that we might get to know Jesus better. So I was very enthusiastic when our leadership team suggested a focus on healing during 2021. We as a group were talking about what we hoped this year would bring, and the word healing came up over and over. Healing. But it's not limited to the idea of getting physically better after an illness. It applies there, but not limited to that. Now, that kind of healing certainly is something countless people need. A listen to any of our joys and concerns times reveals a litany of ailments and health concerns that we hold in our prayers for all sorts of people. But healing is not only for an infirm body. Healing can happen in our hearts and souls and relationship and society. In fact, the stories of Jesus reveal his intentional efforts to heal in all of those ways. Stories of Jesus miraculously curing illness are plentiful in the scriptures, and we will hear those stories. But we will also consider the ways Jesus brought healing beyond the body, the kind of healing we all need, healing I know I am desperate for. In our scripture today, we find Jesus boldly stepping into a situation rife with judgment and pain. A woman is about to receive the legal consequence for adultery. She is about to be stoned in the public square. It must be noted, her partner in the alleged activity receives no such consequence. Though the moment that instigated the punishment was a two-person activity, she tearfully awaits those stones alone. Her life has received scrutiny and judgment in ways that other people have not. Her private choices have become public discourse, all so that the religious leaders could publicly use her situation as a test for Jesus, trying to leverage his perceived compassion as an affront to the religious laws. But instead of harsh consequence, Jesus brings healing. His attempt at healing a broken system of judgment will not be fulfilled in this moment. He tries, but they don't get it. You see, he is seeking to heal the misapplication of God's law, calling the people back to relationship instead of just rules. You see, a small group of people had taken God's law and begun to use it for their power and privilege. This selfish use of this communal covenant was a sickness to the well-being of God's people. And just as this woman was encircled by a crowd looking to use punishment for their own power, Jesus knew he would share something in common with that woman very soon, being encircled by judgment and a system that wanted to destroy him. But Jesus is able to confront the brokenness of this moment, not by challenging the law as it was written, but by challenging the piety of those seeking to carry it out. His request is simple. If you carry no fault, if you are without sin, go ahead. Carry out these rules without compassion. But he knows they cannot, for he knows they are imperfect too. Because Jesus knows the human condition. Jesus knows that each and every one of those gathered carry their own failures and hold in their hearts their own shortcomings. Now, there has long been speculation about what Jesus was writing in the sand. But it doesn't even matter. Jesus' question is rather simple. Are you without fault or failure? In his challenge to those wielding God's law as a weapon, Jesus was asking them to take the first step in healing, because he was asking them to acknowledge where they were broken. You cannot heal when you haven't acknowledged you need it. And so we, too, are asked to consider our lives. It is one of the defining aspects of Ash Wednesday to consider our imperfections and our need for grace and forgiveness. If we are honest in our reflection and honest about our need for healing, we can be changed. But for many, finding places of failure is not a challenge. For so many people, the call to self-reflection is repetitive because too many people, as a result of their own self-criticism or the byproduct of a judgmental and critical world, already know the places of pain that they carry. Which is where we find Jesus healing in his interactions with the woman in today's scripture. What we find in our scripture is a story of validation and companionship. I wonder what the few hours or days before this moment had been like for this woman, abandoned by the person she shared intimacy with, judged by those in power, placed publicly for humiliation and consequence. She had been surrounded by people and yet was completely alone. And Jesus stepped into that space. Jesus looked at her and said, "I see you, not just your actions or these accusations." Now, yes, the scripture also contains an invitation for growth and change. But none of us can make such turns in life without first finding the stability of validation. This is a sacred and holy thing. This is a deep human need. This is a place we can all find healing. For we find it when we are seen and validated for who we are. How powerful is it to know that we are known? This is the grace of God made real in Jesus. When we talk about God meeting us where we are and loving us, this is just that. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the judgments others might cast, whatever our own disappointment in ourselves, God sees us and chooses to be with us. May that be a healing truth for you. And in our pursuit to live like Jesus, we are invited to set aside judgment of others and be a validating presence of companionship, that we might be a source of healing for others. And so when I invite you to receive this story of Jesus as an invitation, you are invited into the graceful validation of God's love to be seen and known. You are invited to extend that grace, to honor the humanity of others in ways that create space for relationship, that such validating companionship, received and shared, might, as we pray, grant us healing. Amen.